For 9 o'clock on your Thursday morning. Thursday morning, I meant to say. Hi. It is coming up in about an hour. You will hear Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. And then at 10:15 on Flashpoints, join us for these topics. Is Lyme disease becoming a major issue for women worldwide? Sini Anderson, director of The Punk Singer, talks about feminist icon Kathleen Hanna. This film reveals Hanna's battle with Lyme disease. Also, migrant children as young as 5 are being warehoused and brutalized by ICE and border authorities in Arizona. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman speaks with Roxane Gay, a powerful new literary voice whose short stories and essays have already earned her an enthusiastic audience. An Untamed State is her debut novel about a woman kidnapped for ransom. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, the guests are Seattle's Julia Gefroer and Portland's Ellery Harvey, collaborators in bringing the art of comics off the page and into the performance space. That's all coming up this morning. Stay with us. Next, it's an hour-long edition of Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know, with Teresa Mitchell. Stick around.
In 2011, Troy Davis was executed by the state of Georgia despite a compelling case of innocence. This sparked a global movement to end the death penalty. Hear a first-hand account of his story and readings from the book I Am Troy Davis on Prison Pipeline, June 16th at 6:30 p.m.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, giving you the tools to destroy billionaire rule. I want to give you a few headlines first, and we'll get right down to some of those tools to destroy billionaire rule with. And those tools will be specific information about how to deal with debt collectors. And this information, you may have heard earlier on KBOO a few weeks ago when Positively Revolting did an interview using some of the very same material. But I want to go into some details and some of my own personal experience and see if I can help you a little bit deal with this phenomenon of third-party debt collectors. It's ugly. It's I was just looking into it this week for the show and discovered that it's even uglier than I thought it was. But I'll get on to that in a minute. First, got some information that workers at the Campaign for the Restoration and Regulation of Hemp were refused the paychecks lawfully owed them after not being paid again on Friday and then again on Monday, June 9th. Workers walked out, not just for their unpaid wages, but in protest of a culture of secrecy and information repression that makes incidents like this an ongoing problem and not just an anomaly. Got this from the protesters, and they are calling for a phone zap, and they are calling for people to show up at 10 a.m., that's an hour from now, at 2249 East Burnside, in action to support these striking workers. And I think you support labor, you support human beings, then you realize you go out there, you work your butt off, you get ready for your paycheck. They're supposed to give you the damn paycheck. I mean, we ain't asking for much here. So that is their call, their request, according to the press release from Jobs with Justice. And let's see, you can call them at 503-235-4606 for more information, 503-235-4606. And if you forget that, look up Jobs with Justice, probably find that phone number that way. And let's see, let me make sure I gave you the right phone number here. CCRH. I just gave you the Campaign for the Restoration and Regulation of Hemp phone number, so that's the number to call to protest, not for information. Oops. Okay, so that's the CCRH phone number, and look up Jobs with Justice for more information on that. Well, that was almost a whoops. That was almost a worse whoops. All right, back to headlines. Al Arabiya News I have selected because trying to cut through the propaganda about what's going on in Iraq. So many U.S. wars exploding around the globe right now. Not a surprise since this is an imperialist nation. We do pay horrific taxes to support the little games that our very rich people like to play with other people's lives. There's information about drone strikes. There's information about Ukraine, so much. But right now, Al Arabiya is reporting that while Kurdish forces were able to seize control of the northern oil city of Kirkuk and Iraq's biggest oil refinery at Baiji, that remained under government control Thursday, Sunni Islamist militants surged to advance towards Baghdad. And it is by pulling up the alternative news that you find out just how bad the situation is. Or maybe it's good. I don't know. I mean, who knows if they're being played as terrible extremists. But you know, what's more extreme than blowing someone up with a robot bomb? I'd like to know. Anyway, Al Arabiya writes, Sunni Islamist militants who have seized a large swath of northern and north-central Iraq now plan to march on the capital, Baghdad. That's according to a U.S.-based monitoring group. And they, in turn, are reporting what the spokesman of ISIS said. That's the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Since Tuesday, black-clad ISIS militants and local armed men have seized Iraq's second-biggest city, Mosul, and Tikrit. You probably heard about that part. Hometown of former dictator Saddam Hussein. As well as other towns and cities north of Baghdad, they continued their lightning advance on Thursday. In Tikrit, the militants have set up military councils to run the towns they captured. Quoting Reuters, they came in hundreds. Let's see, this is quoting a tribal figure from the town of Alam, and Reuters said, they came in hundreds to my town and said they are not here for blood or revenge, but they seek reforms and to impose justice. They picked a retired general to run the town. Our final destination, they said, will be Baghdad. The decisive battle will be there. The militants' advances have forced as many as 500,000 people to flee their homes. I guess that's really the big news, is 500,000 people are on the run. Oh, my God. That is a horrific humanitarian catastrophe. And what do you even say about 500,000 people fleeing their homes? But returning to this article by Al Arabiya, staff writer, they say ISIS spokesman, again, that's the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. A lot of these fighters are people who have fought the Americans, allied with the former regime. Anyway, back to the text. ISIS spokesman, boy, would he be mad. Abu Mohammed al-Adnani promised that the battle would rage on Baghdad and Karbala, a city southwest of the capital that is considered one of the holiest sites for Shiite Muslims. Quoting, do not relent against your enemy. The battle is not raging, but it will rage in Baghdad and Karbala. That's according to Adnani. He said, put on your belts and get ready. I wonder if that's like gird your loins. He said, it's not a funny situation. I shouldn't laugh. March towards Baghdad, he said, because there we have an account to settle. The statement could not be independently verified. Al Arabiya says that also, that the Kurds are in control of Kirkuk. The Peshmerga fighters, Kurdish Peshmerga, security forces of Iraq's autonomous Kurdish north, swept into Kirkuk after the Iraqi army abandoned its post there. And Peshmerga spokesman is saying in Reuters, the whole of Kirkuk has fallen into the hands of the Peshmerga. No Iraqi army remains in Kirkuk now, end quote. As jihadists press an offensive, the Kurdish minister responsible for the Peshmerga security forces survived a bomb blast in Kirkuk that killed a fighter. A senior officer said Jafar Mustafa was returning from visiting Kurdish units that had taken control of Kirkuk City and other areas of the province when a roadside bomb exploded. And Kurds, they write, have long dreamed of taking Kirkuk, a city with huge oil reserves just outside their autonomous region, which they regard as their historical capital. The swift move by their highly organized security forces demonstrates how this week's sudden advance by ISIS fighters and local armed men has redrawn Iraq's map. So, biggest news out of Iraq for quite a while, although the news that Iraq has been literally exploding with bomb after bomb, a true horror, has been, I would say, de-emphasized in the U.S. press. There's much more to that article. Look up Alara Bia. And turning to other headlines from the Toronto Sun, Texas Governor Rick Perry, seen as a potential Republican presidential candidate in the 2016 election, compared homosexuality to alcoholism. In remarks in San Francisco, Perry made the comparison on Wednesday night during an appearance before the Commonwealth Club of California after being asked whether he believes homosexuality was a disorder, according to local media reports. This is from the Toronto Sun. Here's the quote. I may have the genetic coding that I'm inclined to be an alcoholic, but I have the desire not to do that, end quote. Oh, here's another quote. And I look at homosexual issue in the same way, end quote. A few people in the audience gasped in response, according to the CBS report. All right, now everyone knows that Rick Perry is an idiot, but there appears to be a worldwide backlash against GLBT rights, and my prediction is that the Republican Party intends to work with Fox News to fan the flames here in the United States. You've heard about Uganda. You've heard about Russia. Last week I commented about the New Republic's attack on transgender rights. I think I just got the magazine name wrong. I've been doing this sort of thing all week. It's been one of those weeks where I just, you know, have my head up my patoot, and what can I say? But anyway, commented about a magazine's attack on transgender rights. My own family barred me from attending my Texas grandmother's funeral. Societies do have regressive and violent waves. We are not out of danger, and that's the point I want to make here. And I'm making this point, I'm making a warning now, because this is something that has kind of hit my alarms. It's a gestalt. It's a realization that I see many indicators that many people who have felt frightened and angered by GLBT rights are ready and expecting a backlash. There was a violent attack for the first time at Detroit Pride this past week. Pay attention. We are not out of danger. GLBT rights are not solid. All right, continuing with headlines from Islamabad, missiles from a U.S. drone, or from drones, plural, slammed into militant hideouts overnight in northwestern Pakistan, killing 13 suspected insurgents and marking the resumption of the CIA-led program after a nearly six-month break. That's according to officials. The two separate drone strikes marked swift condemnation by the Pakistani government. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs said in a statement that the strikes are a violation of Pakistani sovereignty, you think, and in territorial integrity. In the first strike, which came late Wednesday, a suspected American drone fired, what other kind of drone is out there? Fired two missiles at a militant hideout in North Waziristan tribal area near the Afghan border, killing three militants. Then early Thursday, missile strike targeted another militant compound in North Waziristan, killing at least 10 people. And they're just not happy about that. Continuing with headlines, you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. This is an hour-long program. Number to call with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187. Radiation levels in albacore tuna have tripled post-Fukushima, according to Oregon State University researchers. The scientists came to that conclusion after conducting a study on fish caught off the coast of Oregon, according to Delvin Neville, a graduate research assistant at OSU. These trace levels are too small to be a realistic concern. Quote, a year of eating albacore with these cesium traces is about the same dose of radiation as you get from spending 23 seconds in a stuffy basement from radon gas or sleeping next to your spouse for 40 nights from the natural potassium-40 in their body, said Mr. Neville. Lying son of a bitch. I'm calling you out, Mr. Neville. Of course it's not the same. Here's a glowing coal. Go ahead and gobble it. Go ahead and gobble this glowing coal. Heck, the heat from this coal is the same as you'd get from 15 minutes in the sun, so don't you worry about it. Of course, it's not the same. The discharge from cesium-137 is orders of magnitude greater in power than potassium-40, and cesium is known to bioaccumulate in the heart muscles. This sort of statement supports the nuclear power industry. And Mr. Neville, I'm calling you out. You got blood on your hands, Mr. Neville. You got dead babies on your hands. All right. Now, the number to call with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187. I want to talk about how bad the situation is with third-party debt collectors. I want to distinguish this. Need to put up a few frames here. First frame is, I'm going to talk a lot about how to deal with these people, including going to court on your own behalf. I want to emphasize I'm not an attorney. And I also want to say, don't be afraid to find a way to get an attorney. Don't say to yourself, oh, I can't afford an attorney, therefore, just hold on a second. I know attorneys who have been paid with pets. Yeah. I know attorneys who have been paid with furniture. Probably you know an attorney. You probably know someone who knows an attorney, and the worst thing they can say is no. And, well, I'll get back to that in a minute. But, here's another frame. We live in a situation where the maldistribution of wealth is so incredibly extreme that our politics are entirely controlled, wholly owned by the billionaire class. And if you manage to get something done politically, it's because the billionaire class is not opposing you by and large. Now, you can point to the occasional exception. Most recently, Mr. Bratt, very appropriately named Mr. Bratt, an entitled white person, has won a primary against the much better funded Mr. Cantor. And this means that the Republicans will lose all of the seniority and the committee chairs and all that went with Mr. Cantor, which is fine with me. And Mr. Bratt's going to get in. And he had like 200,000 versus millions in money, but that's a little deceptive because the Tea Party has gotten millions of dollars from secret funders, for example, Charles and David Koch, nationwide, and certainly you can't have a Tea Party versus Republican debate without having that information that has been spread nationwide. I use the word information laughingly, by the Tea Party. So, yeah, there's the occasional exception. There's ice in the Great Lakes, more than ever, which ignorant people who do not understand thermodynamics or who don't even arithmetically count the temperatures that have gone up around the globe will insist, say that means that there's no global warming. Well, this is not the case. The frame that we live in is a grotesque maldistribution of wealth, and this is something that has occurred politically. Your rights to the benefit of your labor have been stolen politically, incrementally, and sometimes grossly. The recent collapse, the Treasury and Fed giveaways to the super rich, to the banksters, are the largest example of corruption in human history. We have the world record now here in the United States. We can't call other countries corrupt anymore in terms of dollars. We've got the world record, and probably will hold it for some time, because trillions of dollars have been effectively given away to the billionaire class. And this continues to go on. And the result, as credit is withdrawn severely from most of the population, by far most of the population, is that people have seen their wages dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. And I'd say a quarter of the population is pretty desperate for full-time work at this point. So we have this increasing phenomenon, no surprise, of third-party debt collectors, because that's one of the ways you can make money in a collapsing economy is to go after people who are already hurting. And here's some of the things. This is from Ready for Zero blog. Here's some of the things that are being done these days and what you need to know about it. Oh, and here's another frame. These things that I'm about to describe are being done vastly disproportionately to people of color. First, a collector may call you and threaten to seize your property or garnish your wages. But the fact is, agencies cannot seize your property or garnish your wages without a judgment to do so. That means they've got to go to court. When they go to court, it ain't over. More on that in a minute. Collection agencies are telling others about your debt without permission. Agencies cannot legally tell employers or other people about your debt without your permission. This is important. Remember this. When they break the law, they can be made to pay you. Let's talk about these third-party debt collectors. They've been threatening to initiate criminal complaints. Agencies cannot initiate a criminal complaint against you for fraud. This is FDCPA stuff. This is federal law. They've been misrepresenting themselves. Agents may try to identify themselves as a fraud investigator on your voicemail to get you on the phone. Other ways that they attempt to misrepresent themselves. Oh, by the way, if you get voicemail and you get any of this stuff on it, keep the voicemail. You're going to need this. You're going to be happy when you find out how much you can fight back against third-party debt collectors. But let me tell you, one thing you can't do is ignore it. And especially if they actually go to court, or if they fraudulently say they're going to court, they do this too. You have to answer it. Because once it's gone to court, even if the debt is completely fraudulent and you don't show up and they get a default judgment against you, well, they've got a judgment. It really doesn't matter if they made it up. And they do make it up. Other ways they attempt to misrepresent themselves is by sounding like they're a lawyer or representing a law firm. Oh my God, I've got a letter from a lawyer. Their motives for doing this may be to add legal fees onto the debt to intimidate you or to add oomph to their efforts. There are many rental lawyer offices that are really just debt collection call centers. They may tell you, and once again, they do this to people of color. I can't say I'm surprised to find this out, but it's appalling nonetheless. They may tell you that a police car is on the way to arrest you. If an agent calls you up, third-party debt collection agent, calls you up and tells you there's a cop on their way to arrest you, don't believe it. Record it. Or just write it down if you don't have some way to record it. They may harass, oppress, or abuse you. They may look through your credit report or bill and attempt to embarrass you about the purchase. If something you purchased was questionable or controversial, such as pornography, they will threaten to tell your family and employer. Other ways they might attempt to harass you are to use profane language or to call you continuously. Now, I'm not an attorney. I don't play an attorney on the radio. And as I was saying, it was really worthwhile when you get in trouble with third-party debt collectors to consult an attorney. And you shouldn't just say to yourself that you can't afford it. I mean, a lot of attorneys will at least talk to you at least a little bit for nothing, and you may know somebody who can give you a lot of help, and you may be able to cut a deal. Don't give up, is what I'm saying. Now, I was talking about the comments, the interview a few weeks ago on Positively Revolting, and that was about strike debts, debt resistors operation manual. And I want you to remember this phrase, Debt Resistors Operations Manual, because it's online. You can get it right now for free. It is like putting gold in your pocket. Debt Resistors Operations Manual. Debt Resistors Operation Manual. A project of strike debt. And I want to read directly from it, and I want to invite your phone calls, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Getting contacted by a debt collector, they write, can rank amongst the worst experiences of everyday life. And it happens over a billion times each year in the United States. According to industry estimates, debt collection has become a complex global industry reliant on strong arm tactics, including harassing phone calls and threats that are often illegal. So much more to share with you. Thomas is on the line. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Hello, Thomas.
Yes, good morning, Teresa. Great comments. I want to step back, if I wouldn't, and revisit the question of what's going on in Iraq right now.
Yes, please.
Yeah, you know, I think if you scratch the surface on this thing, I think there's a lot more going on than meets the eye and is being mentioned in the media. It's interesting to think about the fact that, you know, who really benefits from this sort of chaos that's unfolding in Iraq right now. And I think Saudi Arabia may be right smack in the middle of it. Let's keep in mind that Iraq is a dominant Shiite majority population, and indeed Saddam Hussein, who was installed, incidentally, largely by the doings of the CIA back in the late 60s, is a Sunni minority. And of course, the United States has always done everything it can to fan the flames between the differences between these two sects of Islam to suit their geopolitical geopolitical goals.
You're so right, and let me just add to that right there. Did they fan the flames? Hell yes. Did U.S. Special Forces dressed as Shiite attack Sunni mosques? Yes. Did U.S. Special Forces dressed up as Sunnis attack Shiite mosques? Yes. We started the civil war.
Right. And see, the thing is that, you know, pretty much the name of the game in the Middle East and much elsewhere in the world is you know, it's a very simple program the U.S. policymakers have. And it's basically economic military subservience or chaos is what we have for you. And the last thing that the United States and Western powers want are for powerful regional governments or examples that are outside of the neoliberal model. And indeed, it's worth noting that once the 1990 sanctions against Iraq were beginning to crumble and support was beginning to fail, and there was talk about a normalization of relations with Iraq, that was when the big push to attack happened in the United States. And of course, going back to 1979 with Operation Cyclone, where you know, neocon sociopath Zbigniew Brzezinski, National Security Advisor to Carter, was the one that instigated the arming and training and funding of the Islamic extremists to go against the secular government in Afghanistan, the Soviet-backed secular government. So I think what's happening now is that, you know, al-Maliki was basically our puppet, and he certainly has his shortcomings, but the United States hasn't gotten all of the booty it wanted out of Iraq, not by a long shot. A lot of the oil contracts and things ended up going to other countries that are not necessarily on the United States' friends list. And
well,
I think
but there is a great deal of oil being gathered up in Iraq by U.S.-based corporations. But go ahead.
No, and the thing is, if you think about it, you know, with the U.S. Partial pullout of Iraq, because we haven't really entirely pulled out, all the talk was, well, who's a big winner? Look, Iran's a big winner. This is a Shiite country. They have leadership in Iraq, and they have these, they're actually, ironically closer to Iran, et cetera. And so I think that, you know, there's a huge proxy war that continues, of which the Syrian conflict is a part, of which Iraq is still a part, because at the end of the day, Iran is the big, stable country, the big influential country that has strong allegiances with China, with Russia, and so forth, and also Saudi Arabia too, which is a Sunni dominant. Remember,
the Saudis are a pipeline for weapons profits to General Electric,
right.
General Dynamics, to
that's
Honeywell.
Right. And that ties directly within the other point of my point, you know, because an outside observer might say, well, what does U.S. have to, you know, if the U.S. installed this puppet government, now it's being torn apart by Muslim extremists, what does it have to gain? Well, it has everything to gain from a certain twisted perspective, if you think about it. And that is now you have a pretext for demonization. Iraq remains balkanized in a weak state. This gives Turkey the ability to strong arm a pretext into the oil-rich region of Kirkuk and secure those, et cetera. And it also creates a victory for Saudi Arabia, because it can bring in forces. And indeed, you know, think about all the weapons that have been going into Syria to attack the Assad government. And we know that Saudi Arabia has been a key player in that. And don't be surprised if a lot of this big push of these logistics are fighters that are actually emboldened and using this equipment that's been taken directly from Syria. So I think this is how we can consider this tepid reaction so far from the Obama administration to hesitate from using airstrikes, et cetera. I think it's an extremely cynical strategy that, you know, we'd much rather have chaos than have anyone that's even borderline. And the same thing.
Indeed. I think you're right about the chaos point. Yeah. And that's why I was interested in the LRIB article that pointed out that the Kurds have moved into the towns that they've long wanted. I don't think that's a mistake or a coincidence. I think that's being arranged. And what you really have to watch is what has actually happened as opposed to the way it's spun in the press.
Right.
I appreciate your call, and I'm sure you have a lot of really good points to make. But I do want to go back to the war on the worker here in the United States. Thanks very much for calling in. I mean, that was a great call, and I really appreciate that. All right, the number to call, 503-231-8187. It's 9:30 here in Cascadia. And you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. I'm talking about the coercion that debt collectors have been applying and how you can back it off. And you really can back it off. You need to know your rights. You need to record abusive and illegal practices. In many cases, your debt can be erased due to collectors' misconduct or reduced. In some cases, you might even have the right to sue for damages. Debt collectors count on you to not do your homework. I'm reading directly from the Debt Resistors Operations Manual. Look that up on the web, people. Debt Resistors Operations Manual. If you know someone who doesn't have web access who needs this, pull it up. It's a PDF. Print it out. Give it to them. Every word is, well, not every word, but it's just, this is absolutely, this can save your house. This can save your job. This can save you from depression and penury. There is a lot of debt collection agencies are being paid right now just because they're so used to you rolling over. And to the extent possible with a community radio station, I want to put a stop to that. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. A collection agency often works on behalf of an original creditor. That can be a department store, a credit card company, or a hospital, basically wherever you open a line of credit. When bills go unpaid, the original creditor contracts with collection agencies or third-party debt collectors to collect the debt. Some collection agencies take a commission out of every debt they collect on behalf of the original collector, while other agencies lease or buy your debt outright from the original creditor after a period of non-payment. Now, this is